compliance is a necessary evil.
What is your document retention? Where are you storing this?
Okay.
Who has access to that? Where are the records for when you purchased that part? Where are the records for when you hired that employee? Are your employee documents valid?
Ooh. I'm Kathy Jo Slusher with Aviation Center of Excellence, and this is Aviation Uncovered. Today, we're going to be talking about uncovering the challenges of compliance and everything that goes along with that. My guest today is Nancy Macias. She is the president of Cutting Edge Compliance and Operations Services. Welcome, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
So I want to start off with just a little bit of information, just for those of you who don't have an understanding of the evolution of compliance. Back in 1965, that's 59 years ago, is really where the FARs that we currently have, where they came into being. So we have less than 60 years of the compliance regulations that we currently have. There are some people who are still working now who were working when we didn't have these regulations in place. Safety and standardization was the foundation for creating these compliances. The challenge is, how do we stay in compliance, be operational, and be innovative at the same time? So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
So Nancy, why don't we start off with telling me, so running a business about compliance and working with organizations to create a standardization, that set of compliance, what are some of the challenges that you face directly?
Change is one of our biggest challenges, and implementing change and getting management on board for the most part, right? Because you mentioned the word compliance, it's automatically, they're stopping our deal, they're slowing our transactions, they're, you know, what fast paced turnaround, all of a sudden they're imagining, you know, all these stops.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty of what we do is we actually go in and we go into the business and we evaluate how you operate to try to mitigate those challenges that we face and say, okay, well, this is how we're going to keep it streamlined and fast, mm-hmm. but we need to implement X, Y, and Z. But it starts from the top to be on board with us.
So what do you, aside from like they're going to slow us down, what do you see as some of the hesitation?
Some of the hesitations, well, some people don't want the liability depending on the level of compliance we're talking about, right? So we're talking about export compliance. People are saying, well, I don't want to. Why should I bother a client for this KYC form? Why should I bother, you know, XY for end user? Now, for employee safety, right, compliance safety, well, why should we give this training to everybody? It should only be X, Y, and Z because they're the only ones that touch this material, instead of understanding that we need to go across the board, depending on what it is, whether it's export, whether it's operation compliance, whether it's financial compliance. There's, you know, we have to educate everyone mm-hmm. on that aspect.
So it's interesting that you bring up the training aspect, because one of the things that I pushed for a little bit is the human factors training.
Yes.
Is just for the mechanics. No, human factors affects everybody inside and outside of aviation.
Right.
So for me and my people, everyone needs to take the human factors training.
Yes, because so the thing is, I always say our team, our mechanics, anybody outside in operations, they are what I consider our last line of defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's on us. Anybody that's touching the paperwork, anyone that is reviewing everything, that we make sure that everything's in order. So if we educate and we train our teams outside, you know, they would give you 100% compliance. If we educate them as to why we have compliance, which I'm very big on, let's teach people why do we need compliance, not just your office crew, our team outside. Why is it important to have compliance? Why is it important to review if so-and-so from the office gives you this paperwork, this work order, you're touching this aircraft,
mm-hmm.
when you review it, have them understand it as well as your team.
So let's talk about that a little bit. The why. For that's establishing the why of why we expect people to do anything is so crucial. But aside from we have to do it, why is it important for people and companies to be in compliance?
Well, it's important because, you know, there's penalties, there's risk, there's risk in every aspect that you put into it, right? So you can have, it can hit you, it can hinder your business financially. It can go from if you put a damaged part and you didn't go through it, you mm-hmm. know what will come with that, right? Mm-hmm. Then your whole company goes into a scrutiny of review audits and you're under the radar for at least 5 years from now on, right? Or if you do business, if it lands, if you give parts to someone that you're not supposed to, then you're also at risk with that. Like, and then what does all of this bring? It either brings you financial penalties. Mm-hmm. It can even, depending how bad it is, jail time. Or you know what? Sometimes they'll say for an exporter or importer, they'll say, you know what? We won't allow you to export for 6 months. What would that do to a business that their main thing is exporting in?
Right.
They're, you know? So then these are the little things that people take for granted because it hasn't happened to them yet. But it does. It really does. And that is why, and I stress to them, you know, that simple paperwork, have that talk with the guys outside. It's important. Have the talk with the team inside. Explain to the team inside why is it important to communicate with the team outside. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? Why do we put compliance? Why do you need to check these checklists off? It's very important.
So, and that's one of the areas that I found that a lot of organizations struggle with is communication. How do we communicate? Why do we communicate? I told them once, they should know already. Well, you have to keep telling people over and over again. It just telling somebody something once does not sink in.
Yeah.
It's a repeated message.
You know, we say to make sure we do our job, we say, well, we give them training twice a year, right? So then we do that. We give them the training twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then we make them attest to it. But when you make them attest to it, at that point, you say, well, you signed off on this, remember? And some people will say, will hold that very hard, true to them and follow the rules that they're, as they're supposed to. But even then, having people understand, you know, companies, management understand that training and educating our team is important no matter what. It's hard sometimes because they don't want the change.
Right.
They see compliance as restrictions, as, you know, well, you know, it's something as simple as you have the shipping crew, let's say, and then you have, you know, your sales guys, right? Or your sales girls, right? And we educate the team outside enough to say, hey, if you get this, you know you're not supposed to do this because you're liable. At that point, I guarantee you that our team outside, the shipping crew, will not send it because we've educated to them on what are the risks, why you shouldn't do this. And unless you know, by magic, you know, the CEO management says, go ahead, you can skip through whatever compliance rules there is, then it goes out. But other than that, it's very important that we do that. And yeah. I have to say that I have a few that do work because I've done that. I emphasize on that. Mm-hmm. We do that. We educate the team outside because our team, from the mechanics to the people that ship out the engine to the people to every aspect of it, they are our last line of defense.
Right.
They are our last line of defense. So we have
the last line of defense, but they're also, these are the people that are actually making the business work.
So it's, so I, that's one of our main things. We educate and communicate with our teams outside a lot, yeah. And that's something that they're not used to, right? Like before, it's one of those changes in the industry where, well, the people, they don't have to know everything. They don't have to know. No, they have to know. They have to know. They don't have to know numbers, but they have to know the whys.
Right.
And they have to know, why are we asking for this? Because if we don't share with them, they don't realize how important their job is too.
And that's that, again, that goes back to, these are the people that are actually making the business run. They may not be making the most money, but without them, and that's true at every layer. Without that layer, the operation could not run.
Right.
So there's value at every layer that you go to.
100%.
So you talk about training, and that's my world is training and development. And oftentimes that's seen as a necessary evil. It's something that we have to do to stay compliant. but it's not an emphasis. And I think a lot of companies don't realize that that training and development in your employees is what's going to keep your employee or you or your company thriving.
Yes.
It's not just a necessary evil. It's not a checkbox. It's a necessity for your company.
It is. I think that, so you run into, and again, because I work with numerous companies and I, you know, I've experienced a little bit of those that are full blown nasty, do your thing with your crew, train the team. Mm-hmm. Then I've also have the ones that, yes, we want to do it, but then you start and they're like, no. So I think it's just people coming to understanding that it's okay for everyone to learn and mm-hmm. have that opportunity to grow into another role if that's the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do I say this? Because I've experienced that we run into some people just are fearful of developing people because if I train this amazing person, I educate this person, they're going to leave.
I have run into that so many times. And guess what? You're right. They probably will.
They are, yeah.
And that's 1,000% okay.
And to me, I'm like, well, it's on us to take care of them.
Yeah.
If we don't want to lose them, then we take care of them, right?
So there's that Richard Branson quote that I absolutely love. It's train your people enough so that they can leave. Treat them well enough so they want to stay.
100%.
That's the core of it all.
Yes, and that's exactly it. And then that's what it is. So that's what we try to do. We try to train and we work with the team on how to keep them happy. And when I say the team, I say management team, right? The management team, we have a lot of communication and say, okay, well, you know, let's get them involved. We keep the teams involved. We keep them happy. And they're no longer just another person in the company.
Yeah.
And then that's how you keep them happy.
Yeah.
But again, it's that fear of we're training and they're going to leave us.
So how do you overcome that? Because that's, I guarantee you, that mentality is out there everywhere. Not just aviation.
No, it is. And you really don't, to be honest. And honestly speaking, it just depends on the company, the head of the company, right? Do you really want your company to evolve? Do you really want this? If you don't want your company to evolve and you want to stay stagnant to just enough to what you're doing, then you're fine with that. Then there's those that are open-minded and saying, okay, well, let's do what we have to do. Let's train the crew. Let's do this. And you see the difference in those businesses, how they've evolved.
Yeah.
You do. But truth is, you don't get over it. It's just a matter of like what you're working with, who you're working with, and what their mentality is.
Yeah. So I think COVID, in some ways, I mean, it was a horrible time, and thank God we're past most of that. But I think it also taught businesses a lot that they have to be innovative. They have to be willing to change. If they're not, then that spells doom for that business. So I think some are thinking about where can we be better? What can we do differently? What do we have to do differently? And aviation was definitely one of those industries that was hit hard by it. And we realized that we have got to do something different, which is part of the reason why these podcasts and these discussions are so important, is because we have to be able to think and see things differently.
Yes. Innovation is everything. So, and then again, there's compliance, right? So there's the compliance where if you read the text, then you can give, I can give you 10 steps, right? And say, these are the 10 steps you have to follow to be in compliance, because that's what the textbook states, right? Okay. Then there's other compliance professionals, including myself, right, that I specialize within the industry, which is, you know, the aviation industry. And I do the leasing, the trading, the whole nine. So what do you do to stay innovative? You say, well, we can be compliant and we can follow the rules, but we might not have to go through all those 10 steps.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because the compliance and innovation, because it's so heavily regulated. You have to do it this way. There's no risk taking. There's no do something different. So that's a mentality that has grown in this industry, and it needs to be there. But here's innovation that says we have to think of doing it differently. We have to grow and evolve and change. And it's almost like they're juxtapositioned to each other. So how do we talk about compliance while still thinking about how we can be innovative?
it's all about time, right? Turnaround time. That's the turnaround time.
Yes.
So how do I do this without stopping a transaction or delaying something? So that's where the innovation comes. Okay, well, us as professionals that we want this, this is what we do, this is what we, you know, we make a promise to make sure we, as compliance officers, you say, well, my job is to make sure you're doing it 100% right and you're covering yourself. But it's also our job to understand that there's levels to it. Mm-hmm. Do I need to go to the extreme level? Do I need to go to the, or can I just, you know, be moderate, right? So that's where the innovation comes in. So it depends who you're talking with, what you're doing. And you say, well, so, okay, how do I do this to make sure this happens within 2 days, you know, or whatever? So we say, okay, well, this is how we're going to implement it in your operations. So you start adding little check and balances throughout the systems, throughout the operations of your company. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it's ready to go hit that door, you don't even feel it.
I want an example. Give me an example.
Some companies use their software, right, to enter the information for the, they want to get the transaction out the way, work orders, whatever, mm-hmm. right? So what do we do? Let me go in there and add a stop or an alert that says, hey, did you get this? Did you get that? Did you get that? And then you as the person filling it out, if you're attesting that you did and you didn't at the end, and there's a nod, it's on you.
Simple.
And it doesn't stop you from quoting, mm-hmm. doing whatever you have to do, and you're being in compliant. You come in, you get audited, an officer comes, so what do? Here's what I do. Here's my operation, and in my operations, and it's just yes, no, yes, no. And okay. So it's one of those many examples of what we do to make it fast paced.
See, you can stay in compliance. You can do what's expected and still find alternative ways, still find workarounds maybe
yes.
that still keep you within compliance, but make sure that the operations still run smoothly.
Right. Yeah. So that's one of the examples. That's, you have to, right? We have to stay up to speed with what we know it's our hardest battle, which is turnaround time. And then we want to make sure that we're keeping also our clients happy. Not, when I say clients, I mean, you know, who we're servicing as, who's buying the aircraft from us, who's getting our engine repaired with us.
Right.
We want to keep them happy, mm-hmm. but we also need to make sure that we are covering ourselves.
Yeah.
And protecting and doing everything the right way.
And I think most customers take that satisfaction in knowing that they're in compliance, they're doing it the right way, so my airplane, my engine, whatever is safe because they are paying attention to what needs to happen.
Yeah, and nowadays, if you have someone that gives you a hard time because you're asking them a little something, I would take that as a red flag. Yeah. You know, it's sort of, you know, like, come on, you know you're getting these questions from everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where then there's some that are stricter than others, it all depends, but it's becoming more standard now.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. I see it evolving a little bit better.
So the willingness to stay in compliance is...
I wouldn't say willingness. I mean the necessity. I don't think they want to, you know, the need, because it's the truth. It's a need. And I always say our compliance services are not wants, are, you know, they're needs, right? And that's what it is. It's more of the need of, mm-hmm. especially if you don't want to stay limited to just U.S.-based clientele. So if you want foreign, you need to stay compliant in every aspect. You know, so that's one of the reasons.
And I think we're seeing that more and more, too. It's the we're becoming more one world. And so those standards are getting more standardized, right?
Yes.
So, and things are changing there a little bit. So, again, as an industry, we need to be aware of that and make sure that we're changing what we need to match that need.
Yes, we do. I mean, I feel like we have, from when I started back, I want to say almost 19 years ago, to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I see it a lot more happening in companies and a lot more willingness to it, you know.
Yeah.
But it comes with also because people are afraid of the risk. And then also because of the change of, I call it the new gen of leaders, right? There's a new gen of leaders in these last 7 years. There's been a different generation that's been coming through of leaders that have a different view. And I've worked with a few that I seen them evolve, and it's that the new generation of leaders are more open to compliance because they're also more open to working with you or myself versus the old generation is very, no, this is the way, this is how it is.
Always been this way.
So if it's the boss, isn't that? So now there's a new gen that's more open to compliance. They're open to, okay, well, what's the rule now? You know, I don't want to wear the orange suit, you know?
Right.
So it's a lot of, so that's what it is too. That's the change of the new leaders that I see now.
So let's, I want to touch on this a little bit to see if you've noticed a difference. There's been a lot of high profile incidences that have happened within the industry over the past couple of years. As a result of some of that, and let's face it, some of those incidents happened because we haven't necessarily been as strict on compliance as what has needed to happen. Have you seen an increase because of that, we have to implement this, we have to double check, we have to safeguard ourselves?
So I want to say recently, I want to say in the last 2 years, I've seen a change.
Okay.
And I want to say maybe because of COVID, but I've seen an evolution now, but I'll explain to you. I feel that there's more transparency now, right? Before, things would happen and you would rarely, because people didn't care about reading the alert, the compliance alert or that notice, mm-hmm. it wasn't as much transparency. And I'll tell you this because I remember one day I mentioned to someone, well, you know, so-and-so company in the industry got fined, you know, 100,000. And they were like, what? I'm like, yeah, you didn't read it? You know, so now it's a little bit more, there's more transparency now. And people are more aware, are becoming more aware of, you know, what is the risk. And now they're saying, oh, what am I going to do to them? It doesn't happen to me.
So is this forced transparency? like it's on the internet, it's in the media, it's out there, everybody knows about it. Or is this willful?
I think, to be honest, I think it's more forced because someone will get it out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So before someone else gets it out there, let's get it out there. And then now there's so many people like myself that do what we do and our focus in the industry mm-hmm. that we do ask for these type of alerts from, you know, third parties that we work with, whether it's, you know, one of the agencies, they'll send us alerts or any agents. But I do think that it's more forced because someone will get it out there.
Yeah.
Someone. And again, I think media is big now.
Yeah.
And people are so big on, you know, I want to make sure I don't come out with that on LinkedIn.
And anybody can be a journalist now. So yes. If you get out there on TikTok like that.
So I think, I think that's really why.
So we look at, so human behavior is one of my area of specialties, why we do the crazy, stupid stuff we do. And I love that. But micro deviations happen increment, like step by step by step. And we don't even notice that behavior is changing. So, hey, this worked. Oh, it's not that far out of compliance. It's not that big of a deal. We'll keep doing this. And sometimes we notice, or we don't even notice the changes that are happening until we're so far outside of us that something happens. So this is human nature. This is what we do, right? So how would a company know to call somebody like you in and say, hey, we really need help to course correct if they don't even know they're off course?
That's a tough one because I think it's sort of the accountability. Does someone want to say, hey, I want a person to come in my facility, check me and tell me where I'm not doing a great job.
Yeah.
And then it's an outsider knowing all my flaws, right?
Yeah.
So I think it ultimately comes down to ownership, right? So mm-hmm. So in the industry, right, since we're focused on the industry, some of it is force, depending on your level of ownership, right?
Yep.
So if there's financial and ownership as an investor, then that you're forced to be compliant.
Right.
You're forced in every aspect, right?
Yeah.
Because not only on the export employee side, operation side, but on the financial side.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yes.
And then there's those that don't have that that, you know, that need. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ones that they're just the owners. Or so for those, it's more of, do I want this? Am I going to take this risk? I've seen a lot of, you know, I've worked with a few people where in the beginning, they're just, they start off slow. And as they develop, they've grown their compliance program.
Okay.
I've seen that involvement. But mm-hmm. it ultimately comes from the top. Do you want this? Because if the top doesn't want this, it will never work. No matter what grade of a program you want to put into play, even if you hired me and you tell me, do whatever you want, Nancy, put it together, let's do this. Mm-hmm. But you don't really want it, it will never work.
And I'll say that's true for any kind of change mm-hmm. that you try to implement. So culture changes, anything like that. I've done that, the leadership development, those pieces. If the top doesn't want it and believe in it, not just want it, but they have to believe in it. Yes. And they have to walk that talk. If they're not doing it, it's never going to happen.
No, it won't. It won't at all. And then it's also one of the things that I say, you know, once the top realizes, well, I have liability, but then the rest of the team realizes that they have liability as well.
Right.
Some people say, well, yeah, no. If the top doesn't want it, then there comes another VP and says, well, I want it. Let me get the top to want it. So it kind of goes hand in hand. It all mm-hmm. depends. You just need someone in management to want it that can make it work, help us work.
You can really push it.
Push it, and it yeah. goes to the top, you know.
And it's not just the flavor of the month. Oh, this is in the news, so we're talking about it now. They're not going to care about it tomorrow or next month. You know, it's so these kind of changes, and I can speak from my side of it. It takes months. It's not something that you're going to like do today and tomorrow. It's a process, not an event.
Yeah, no, right. It takes. So if you're, it depends also on how big you are, right?
Right, of course.
So it can take months. It can take even up to a year or two, and people yeah. don't realize it because again, it goes back to people's behavior. So we might have the best plan laid out. But if you have those subordinate employees or those that just don't want the change, mm-hmm. not only from the top, but your employees in itself,
yeah,
it makes it very hard.
So that's why going back and training and explaining the why we're doing this, and this is something that any change, if you're a CEO or president of a company, any change that you want to make, having everybody all the way down understanding why this is important. All levels of why financially this is important, why it's important for the growth and the development of the business, why it's important for the safety of your employees, all of that. If they don't understand why, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's part of getting that buy-in, is explaining why this is important, why we have to make this change.
Yes.
And sometimes that change is the pain of not changing has to be less than the pain of the change itself. So you got to understand, if we don't change, we're going to die. Because change is hard. Change yes. is not easy, especially when you're looking at an organization.
Yes, it's not easy, and it's expensive.
It can be. Yes.
It can be expensive.
And time consuming,
but it's worth it in the long run. Because once you have it established, once it's flowing, you are covering yourself, and it's just yeah. a matter as you keep continue evolving, you just keep adding to it. You just keep adding to it, and it just becomes part of your day to day.
Yeah, well, it's a habit. It becomes part of the culture. So how would a company recognize? Oh, wait a minute, we're out of compliance here. We need to do something a little differently.
So 100% of the times it happens, they realize it because something happens.
100% of the time.
Almost 100% of the times.
There's no self-auditing saying, wait a minute, we need to be a little proactive here. It's reactive.
Most of the time it's reactive.
Okay.
It's 100% reactive. Most of the time they're like, hey, we really need this. And, you know, in my case, I've seen that happened a few times where, you know, they've run for years smoothly and all of a sudden something got stuck in customs. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, what do I do then? And then that's when they're like, well, did you have this in place? Do you have this in place? You know, how do you... And that's how most of the time it happens for us, because their operation is just flowing, nothing's ever happened, they're getting away with it, like you said earlier, you know, we're just going to keep doing it, it's working, we're just doing this, it's working, until something doesn't happen. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't. So most of the time, and I say it's 100% of the time, it's reactive. Most of the time it's reactive.
So if by chance, let's say there's one individual out there who thinks, I want to be proactive and I want to look for red flags before it gets to the point where something's stuck, like an important piece of equipment is stuck in customs and we're going to lose a customer if we don't get that, or one of our employees gets hurt or something like that. If they want to look for red flags, what would they look for?
Your documents. Do you have proper, what is your document retention? Where are you storing this?
Okay.
Who has access to that? Where are the records for when you purchased that part? Where are the records for when you hired that employee? Are your employee documents valid?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know, are they valid? Are they expired?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So those are red flags. Like, who's monitoring that for you? How are you doing that?
And most, the documentation, the archives, the records is in a little corner off to the side. That's a little,
and they're very important.
And they're very important. And they're vital records in our industry.
Training records.
Yeah.
Like, who's signing? Are they being signed off in a timely manner? How are you tracking?
Right.
So my biggest thing I said, first off, what is your record retention? Like, what are you doing? How are you, you know, from your HR, you know, compliance side, who's monitoring what? Who has access to what? You know, at what point, because I see a lot, well, you know, my quality guy has to have access to this. Well, no, they just need to see this. They don't need to see that. Like, so little things.
Yeah.
That, then the same thing, you know, access to documents. Do you have, I think that's the key, the first step where you start seeing, is there a good document retention in your system?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if anything does happen, the first thing they're going to check is your documents, your yeah. history. You know, let me find out that you really didn't do that, send that part on purpose. You know, let me see your email address. Let me see your emails. You know, your documents are very important.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that I say, if you feel that you don't have the proper documents, just ask the question of, like, what documents should I be saving?
That's a good question.
What documents should I be saving for employees? What documents should I be saving for our mechanics? What should mm-hmm. I be saving for our shipping records? You know, or better yet, for each customer. What should I have on file for each customer, depending on your level of business, right? Because everyone doesn't require the same thing in our industry. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of understanding the business. So do I need this? Do I need that? Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to get this certification, then you should get, but I think it's understanding those details is how you can determine whether you need to start putting your company up to par when it comes to compliance.
So I want to backtrack a little bit. So compliance is a necessary evil.
It is.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
The intention of compliance, though, is not a demand or a command or a rule. It's the intention of it is to do what's right. So that just culture, right? Let's create that just culture of that transparency and the information back and forth and the automatic declarations. You know, we're saying we did this. But that's not really what compliance itself has kind of created. It's created And I'm saying this because, you know, with training, I have to make sure that my people are in compliance.
Right.
You know, training is a huge element of that. But for me, the idea is I want to do it because my people deserve it. They need it. They, you know, I want them to grow and develop, not because it's a regulation, because I'm going to get in trouble if I don't have it. But that's how most people see it, is we're going to be in trouble if we don't do it.
Right. So I think So it also comes down to what we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of even sort of our trade, that's where we see it, how we see it,
mm-hmm.
right? And the truth when it comes to compliance across the board, like in any aspect, not just in our industry, everything, the government, right?
Yeah.
It's free. All the information you need is on the web,
yeah,
from the government. So the government expects us to know this. The same way that we know we're supposed to have a passport to travel, they expect us to know that we need that document to have on file, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's online. now it's online, right? Mm-hmm. So everything is so, you have access to all this information online. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not, we want to do it because that's what I enjoy doing. You like doing that. Yeah. But for the most part, what people should understand is all this information is out there.
How do we shift that it's a rule or that we have to do it to we want to do it?
I think it's a case by case, right? Because mm-hmm. Because of the different parties that I work with often, you know, they love to hate what we do. They have those that are like, come on, Nance, I want it, just do it. Just do what you have to do. And then there's those that are just like, oh, I don't want to. But you have a mix. I don't think that it's like giving a kid a rule, like you're not supposed to do this. And so I don't think we can get to the point where everyone will be, well, I want to do this. I wish, right?
Right.
You know, it's just more of...
Well, you'd be out of the job then.
Exactly. Yeah. So then it's one of those where it's more of, I will love the certification, so I want this compliance program.
Oh, so, okay. You know, so a little bit of a reward for doing it.
Most of the time that's the case, right? Well, if I want to be certified on this, then I should have this into place and I should add this into the program, which is a reward for them.
Well, and I
so that's that, where it becomes a want.
That goes to where how a lot of people are implementing SMS, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a regulation, but it's not now.
Right.
But we get bonus points for having a qualified SMS system in play.
Yes.
So a lot of companies are voluntarily doing it because they know it will benefit them right in the long run.
It's very true. I mean, even with the ASA, before it wasn't. Where, well, not everyone needs it, just specific type mm-hmm. of companies. Now it's more, well, if you have it, that's great.
Yeah.
And I believe in it. I think I'm like, oh, that's great. I love the fact that people want it more because it gives them, it turns that I don't want into I want compliance yeah. because I want that reward.
And that, I think that might be the key. Yeah. How do we start creating that mentality?
Yeah, so that's really the case. It's the ultimate, they get a reward at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So a 3-star, 2-star, 1-star by how many safety incidences you have or if you've got all your records in play or something like that.
Yeah. So that's where
it is. FAA, we got it all figured out. We're good here.
Yeah.
Just give us a call.
Yes. For real. But even then, like, so for us, we'll do the audits, right? So I say, hey, okay, we're running an audit. So their reward is... You know, it came back free and clear.
Yeah.
You know, the audits came back clear. So we do the audits here and there for companies too.
Okay.
So that also, that's the reward for them because it does bring a little bit of fear in them when you have someone, you know, a compliance officer walking in there doing your...
Yeah, it is. People are terrified when they know somebody's coming through.
Yeah.
And that's the approach. And I get we have to have the good cop, bad cop, but the approach should be more of we're here to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, that's been it's not a strategy. That's truly who I am. I'm very strict. You know, I'm strict to what it is, but I'm very open to, and because compliance personnel have the worst rep and they're definitely more so scared of them.
Yeah.
So I've even had the comment where, well, you're not your regular compliance person. I'm like, no, well, I need to be able to, if I hinder the relationship with the team, mm-hmm. I won't get what I need, and I don't want it to sound in a bad way, but I need them to feel comfortable with me because I need them more than they need me in the sense of how am I going to protect you if you can't communicate with me?
Right.
You know, so those are one of the things where I sort of am different. I build those relationships with the team mm-hmm. and I show them where if you did this, there was a mistake, you're not in trouble. Let's fix it together.
So when you go in, who's the team that you work with?
Most of the time I start with, so we do, it depends, it's by segments. So mm-hmm. we start basically, we do your customer service team. We outline them. Why? Because your customer service team or your sales team, they're your first line of defense. They're the ones getting all the information, access to everybody, you know. So then there's your ops team outside. Mm-hmm. So then we go by segments. But we work with all of them. My team and I work with all of them, but... The most of the time, confidence, I feel the team outside, the operations team outside, feel less empowered to have communications with someone, like, you know, like one of our team members. So we emphasize on working with them in the sense because I want them to feel comfortable speaking with us, raising their hand and saying, you know, see something, say something, tell me. You're not, you know, it's not about getting in trouble. It's not, oh, you didn't. I'd rather you tell us and we fix something and let's do this together.
Yeah.
So we build that culture because, yes, I have a serious job to do, but I can't do it if I don't have the team with me. You know, they are like are my psychics.
Right.
You know, and that's the reality of it. I'm not in every office. I'm not everywhere at the same time. So we need to build that culture where they can pick up the phone and say, like, you know, I have this weird transaction came through, or do I do X, Y, and Z? So I think that's how we, my emphasis on my operations team.
So your team, right? So your team goes in and they work with the organization's team. How does your team work to get that buy-in, to get that sense of it's safe to communicate with us? Because chances are they don't feel it's safe to communicate with their own leadership. So how do you have somebody outside come in? How do you create that?
You build trust. Start building the relationship, you know, and comes down to the same thing. You know, even with my team, like the team that I manage, my team, mm-hmm. it's one of those where I stay true to the fact of I am your leader. Mm-hmm. I am here to guide you. We're in this together. If you do a reckless mistake because you just didn't care, we're going to handle it.
Yeah.
But if you genuinely are doing the best you can do and something just happened, hey, it happened. Let's get it. Let's figure it out.
Right.
And that's the approach with our teams and operations across the board. And it goes such a long way.
It's leadership.
Yeah.
It all boils down to relationship and leadership.
Yeah. And giving them that comfort of like, they have my back.
And that's a big one. It's psychological safety, you know, that you
that's
know.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
There's that trust. There's that comfort that I can go tell you something, even if I messed up, that you're not going to chop my head off unless it's like the thousandth time I've messed up.
100%, yeah.
And that's why you're there to help me.
Yeah. And that's why training and individual and working with our team is very important, no matter how great our program is.
Yeah.
It's about that.
And again, it goes to that sense of trust and developing those relationships. That's the core of compliance.
Yes.
Let's keep people safe. Let's do the right thing. Let's work together. Here I go.
It's all about the people. Yeah, it is.
It is everything.
It is. And I'm
everything is about the people.
And I'm that way too, because I had an amazing leader.
Yeah.
When I was growing up in the aviation industry, and she was amazing. So she had our backs. So that's sort of how I built it. You know, we have our good days, we have our bad days, but she had our back and we evolved into what we are today. So to this day, we're very thankful to her.
It is so amazing what one relationship can do, the difference that mm-hmm. that can make.
It is. And that's what we strive to do, you know? That's what we try to do.
So if there's one piece of advice or one little nugget of wisdom that you'd like to share on compliance, what a company needs to do, what an individual or a leader, anything they need to do to aid in compliance, what would that be?
I would say understand everyone's role, right? What they do. Because once you what they do on the day to day, then you being at the top as management, you can say, well, it will help you be accountable as to understanding whether you are missing something or not.
Yeah.
So I think it's not just about, oh, I hired a whole bunch of people, my team. When you understand what each one of your team does, it's essential to it. So I think understanding your team.
And I think that's brilliant, because I will tell you that if you pick a CEO out of a company, they probably would not necessarily be able to answer that question. And it is really important to do.
And I'll tell you this, the few CEOs that I work with that know what their team does have an amazing operations as a whole, and compliance included.
Yeah. Nancy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. Oh, it has been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for another edition of Aviation Uncovered. If you or someone you know is interested in stepping into this wonderful world of aviation, please check us out at aviationcenterace.com. We'd be more than happy to help you on your journey. Have a great one. Till next time.